Welcome back. This is Chicken Philosophy, the I Ching, part 4, in which we will continue our mission to, you know, learn the basics about the I Ching. Just right up front, I'm not an expert. I am not even a beginner. I am learning it, and I'm learning it in front of you so that maybe if you're a beginner too, you can learn it as well. Or, you know, maybe review, or just, you know, be entertained by this silly guy on the TV teaching himself the I Ching. So that's what's happening here. That's our formula. If you'd like to start at the beginning of the I Ching series on Chicken Philosophy, you can click right there. And, all right, so we've got a little bit of a system developed, which starts with me pulling a card from this I Ching deck from Switzerland, the home of the I Ching. No, Carl Jung, that's what it was. Never mind. Unrelated, maybe related. Okay, so let's just pull this one. So this is figure 47. I'm skipping stuff. I'll just do stuff out of order. It's okay. Figure 47, broken, solid, broken, double solid, broken. And, all right, we'll just put that here. And we'll get to that in a moment. I also wanted to put this jade cat up on the screen somewhere, perhaps here. Is that good? Right about there. It's good, right? Our beverage for today is a cup of Joe, as it is before 6 a.m. here. Woke up rather early and decided to go ahead and do this before the sun came up on account of these robes. It's just more comfortable for me. So for selfish reasons, I'm doing this very early. Cheers. Okay. And for the incense, we've got a little bit of a silly thing. This Japanese, temple incense, meditation incense, frankincense, and myrrh. So some kind of fusion, some kind of variation on, you've maybe heard me mention before, Ethiopian coffee ceremony, where they roast the coffee beans, and then burn frankincense and myrrh, like proper frankincense and myrrh, on a charcoal while you drink the freshly brewed and roasted coffee. It's a very fancy thing. So this is less fancy, but by using the meditation incense, it kind of gives it a fanciness boost, but in a different direction. So it's some kind of weird variation. World fusion, something, something, I don't know. Okay, seems appropriate for Chicken Philosophy. Okay, I guess that's good. Now we can look up our figure here. It's figure 47. Go ahead and turn up the music while I look that one up. Okay. Now, I had a feeling, because some of you might remember my rose cross wand. I mean, rose quartz wand. And I was joking at one point about how, you know, attachment, the kind of love, attachment love. Like if I say, you know, this thing will just roll off my desk one day and break into pieces. And if I'm like devastated by that, then that's the kind of love that'll kill you, you know? Well, it just happened just now, right before I started recording this. And I couldn't help feeling a little bit of melancholy, but also a little bit of a chuckle, recalling having said that, and anticipating that perhaps today's I Ching figure would be a little bit more of a challenge. Now, I'm not saying more of a challenge like, oh no, oh, it's a bad sign, bad juju, you know, son's void of course or whatever, you know, like, don't go outside today, like Pee-wee's Big Adventure. No, nothing like that. We accept a good challenge now and again, right? Okay. Kun, K-U-N, oppression or exhaustion. An unavoidable time of adversity. Quiet strength ensures a later success. Okay. Sounds good. I don't know if, is it just me or maybe it's just me. I feel like this is slightly, no. When I look at the books on the side, it's like, well, anyway, seems fine. So, okay, so what we're doing these days is, first of all, make sure my Jade cat is safe, because he's actually Jade, and he's from Shanghai. Yeah, I know he's here, but he's also there, the bi-location thing. All right, cool. So what we're doing, you remember last time we covered heaven? So we're learning the trigrams in the order in which they're presented by reading about the hexagrams that are produced from the trigrams one on top of the other. So of the 64 hexagrams, 8 of them are made of a single trigram repeated twice. Makes sense, right? Okay, so the next trigram is thunder, or chen. We're also getting in the habit of saying ch when there's a ch, rather than the softer sort of French sh, going for the Charles ch, not the Charlemagne ch, you know what I mean? Alright, so chen. So this is chen. Okay, let's put our oppression figure over here, make it more subtle. And chen, the trigram, that's what that looks like. So thunder, does it look like thunder? I guess you could imagine lightning coming down, even though it doesn't really come down. It comes down and goes up at the, you know, very rapidly, and it's kind of already, like, it goes up from the ground as it comes down from the clouds when it makes contact with the ground. But in sort of a child mind cartoon image, you can imagine the lightning coming down, and maybe that's what that looks like. The space between the, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of a way to remember it. I guess repetition is the best way to memorize things that don't have something that clicks like that. So, okay, so this is chen, thunder. If you put chen on top of chen, it looks like this. Notice the three, this is the same as this, right? And that's figure 51. So that's what we're going to start with today, is figure 51, which I'm betting is called chen. Yes. Chen, the arousing or shock. The shock of unsettling events brings fear and trembling. Move toward a higher truth, and all will be well. Okay. All right, so we've read that much before because we've gotten this figure before. But now I'm going to keep reading. The tendency of human beings is to rely on the strategies of the ego, desiring, plotting, striving. When we exercise the ego, our spiritual development stops, and the universe must use shocking events to move us back onto the path. The appearance of the hexagram Chen indicates an immediate need for self-examination. Wonder if this is related to Gwydion's Pymander episode yesterday. Nah. Self-correction and a re-devotion to following the path of the sage. In Chinese, the hexagram translates to mean thunder over thunder. A continuing series of shocks occurs until the obstruction in our attitude is removed. It is important not to react against these shocks. Instead, realize the truth. There is no spoon. This came up a couple days ago when all the spoons were dirty and Pew was searching for a spoon to use, I don't know, for something. And she's like, there's no spoon. And I was like, there is no spoon. And she was like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I was like, you remember The Matrix? And she had to explain the scene, and then she remembered.
There is no spoon.
Became a funny thing. Okay. Anyway, instead, quiet and open your mind.
Open your mind.
Got a sci-fi theme happening today. Accept that what is happening has come to teach you a specific and necessary lesson. And look inside to see where you are resisting the will of the higher power. And just to keep our suspension of disbelief intact and our egos satisfied, subtly satisfied, remember the higher power isn't necessarily external. It's the higher self. And remember, the external isn't necessarily not self. I know psychiatrists will be like, that's crazy or whatever, you know. But there was something I was writing. I was having a conversation and then I was second guessing it. And then it's one of those things that when you try to put a profound truth that makes sense in the silence and stillness of deep meditation, and you try to put it into words, and then you analyze the words, and then you reread the words in the voices of everybody you know and have ever met, and then hear their criticisms in your mind, and it's kind of a drag, right? Well, in this particular case, it was something about I had written being vigilant about the error of non-identification with the formless and unknowable. And first I was wondering if it was clear what I was saying. Is it a double negative? No, it's a negative over here and a negative over here. Negative equaling negative or whatever, it cancels out, so it's positive and positive. Does that make sense? In other words, what I was intending to say was that one should allow oneself. Now again, I'm analyzing the words as I'm saying them, and I'm like, no, like, let's get rid of one, let's get rid of should. So for the sake of communication, it's putting forth the idea of identification with the formless and unknowable as self, rather than only that which is hazily remembered, seen in the mirror, read in old journals, shaved in the morning. What, you know what I mean? Like, only that which is, which you can behold. Not that which you can behold, not these curtains. Only this meat sauce, meat stuff, you know, is allowed to be considered self, right? Seems like a very tight mode of existing, right? So I'm proposing not only identifying with the world around you as self. That seems like not a great idea, because then you watch the news and you're like, oh, I'm fucked up, aren't I? Maybe on a certain level, but maybe skipping that and going straight to the formless and unknowable. That is true self. This true self expresses itself in this way, in this moment, like a flower blooms. But the essence of the flower, the seed of the flower, the DNA of the flower, for lack of a better word, it's a strained metaphor, exists as an idea apart from its physical existence which exists as a physical existence, apart from when it is a flower, which only happens in spring, in this metaphor. And by spring, we mean, look at your ID, that's the date that the flower began blooming. And then one day, perhaps there'll be a gravestone, that's the day that the flower fell. Right? That's not self. That's that time that flower bloomed in spring that year, right? It's a metaphor. Is it helping at all? I don't think so. The thing, you know what I mean? It's like if someone's in the state of meditation, then they can look to the person next to them and say, life is the flower blooming in spring. And then, yes. But if someone's like, I've been severely and chronically depressed for decades, can you help me? And you say, life is the flower blooming in the spring and falling from the vine. Yeah. They'll be like, that doesn't fucking help, guru, you know? So it's like, what can you do? Good thing I'm not a guru. All right. Where were we? The sooner you return to innocence. First of all, pay the guy who's singing right now, please. Or his family, anyway. I don't know, maybe they paid him. I think what I heard was that they were just like, went and were like, hey, can I record you doing that? All right, now I'm going to make millions of dollars off it. No. Maybe that's not how it went. Maybe that was a rumor back in the 90s. Back in the, before the internet really got going, you couldn't Google shit like that. Am I going to Google that? Probably not. Anyway. If you're wondering, I said return to innocence and I free associated. It happens. Continuing. The sooner you return to innocence and acceptance, the sooner the shocks will subside. Innocence and acceptance, okay. All right, I'll try. Those who maintain a reverence for proper principles and an inner commitment to higher things are unperturbed by shocking events. They simply concentrate on deepening their understanding. If you find yourself feeling threatened by circumstances, withdraw into stillness and meditation. I would add to that, withdraw into stillness and meditation at other times as well. You don't need to program yourself to associate withdrawing into stillness and meditation with shock and traumatic experiences going on around you. You know what I mean? It can be something you do when everything's fine too. It's like, I heard this story about somebody who was like, I think my tarot deck is possessed. You know, I get weird vibes from it. And then they brought it to somebody and that person opened up the cloth. And sure enough, they felt like a shrieking, you know, from this tarot deck. And they were like, what? Tell me about how do you use this deck? And they're like, well, I really only use it when things are going horribly wrong and I'm really mad at somebody. And then I do a tarot reading and then I feel much better. And then I put it away and they're like, oh, how long have you been doing this? And they're like, oh, you know, several years. And it's like, yeah, okay. So you've been actively charging this deck with your bullshit for years. That's why it's screaming. Oh, I think they burned it or something. Anyway, so yeah, that's what I'd say. Christians will talk about, you know, only turning to God when things are bad. And then when things are good, you're just like, ah, well, you know, who needs you? You know, like Rick and Morty, where he's like, God, dear, please, Lord, help me. Fuck you, God, I did it all by myself, you know. Anyway, same thing, different language, different spiritual language. Obviously, there's things attached to one language that aren't attached to another language. There's things that you say with connotations in French that don't exist in Swahili, right? Never mind. The only remedy for doubt and fear is a reconnection with higher truth. This time, lowercase h and lowercase p. Earlier, higher power. Oh, higher power is capital H, capital P. Higher truth is lowercase h, lowercase t. What are you saying by that, Brian Brownie Walker? Brown, with an E. Brian Brown. Never mind. Brian? Who? What? Okay. Shock is an important and beneficial teacher to those who follow the path of the sage. Make good use of this new beginning, and good fortune results. Okay, so remember the whole thing about the changes? So this bottom line is solid, which means singular numbers, which means it was a 7 or a 9, right? So if you roll a 9, I mean, if you flip 3 coins and get heads 3 times, then that's 9, right? For that one line. You can watch the earlier episodes if this isn't making sense. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep moving. For the broken lines, those are even, so they're either 6 or 8. So if you flipped 3 coins for the second line, meaning the second one from the bottom, right? And you got, and you rolled a 6 by rolling tails 3 times, then that's a change, which means you read the thing for the second line. For the third line, same thing. If you rolled a 6, you read the change. For the fourth line, if you rolled a 9, then that's a change. So you read it and 6 and 6. So if you happen to get 9, 6, 6, 9, 6, 6, then you would read all 6. Otherwise, you wouldn't. But because we're learning it, we're going to read all 6. So the bottom one, this is: shock frightens us, and at first we are convinced that it is bad. When we learn the lesson it has come to teach, we are thankful for it. Second line: do not resist unpleasant circumstances. If you withdraw into contemplation, you can regain what has been lost. Well, I figure I'll go to Anjuna and get another rose quartz wand. They have a place where they, like, where broken things, like, they've got, like, little, they've got a lot of things. They make stones into different shapes, and then the broken pieces all go into a little area where there's a tree, and there's, like, a round thing, and then there's, like, broken, beautiful gems. It's pretty when they're all together, so what I'll probably do is package that up, take it to Anjuna. You've heard me talk about Anjuna. Anjuna is a whole area, so, you know, it's more than just curlies. I think all of the images that were shown of Anjuna were from one place, curlies. Right? Oh, well, and the little walkway from the parking lot. If you, there's two ways, never mind, that's a one-sided thing. Yeah, there's parties. We used to live there. We lived there when I started Buddhist Books Podcast, actually. That area, that room with the Portuguese feel, vibe, for those who remember that when I first started reading Dhammapada. Or there was some esoteric nerd episodes recorded there in Anjuna, too. But yeah, Anjuna's a vibe. But it does have that party element, so if you're there at night, you'll hear the din-din-din-din-din-din-din-din, you know, going in the distance. Or not so distant, depending on how close you are to the nearest nightclub. But anyway, okay, what am I talking about? Yeah, that's where the gem and this place and this guy, he's the guy who sold me the thing. So, hey, you know what? I get to see him again sooner than I would have had that thing not broken. That guy's cool. I like that guy. So, right? The blessing hidden in the tragedy. All right, it's not much of a tragedy. Touch wood. Third line: do not let the shock of fate propel you into negative conduct. Steadfastly resist the temptation of the inferiors. Open your mind.
Open your mind.
And a way through will be shown. I think in this case the inferiors mean like the lower nature, not like inferior people. Fourth line: you are mired in resistance to events. Quiet your ego accept the situation, and open your heart.
Open your heart with love.
Thank you, Madonna. Open your heart to learning what you need to learn. It probably isn't related to Madonna, but maybe it is. I don't know. Depends on your specific situation, I suppose. Fifth line. Repeated shocks occur. Quietness and truth are the best refuge. One who stays centered is unmoved and unharmed. Sixth line. Engagement with shocking events robs you of peace of mind, inviting disaster. Withdrawal into stillness restores your balance and prevents misfortune. Well, shit. Thunder. Man. Chen. What a figure. So now we've got heaven and thunder. Right? I think we should do one more. I mean, I think we're right about at a half hour. Like, if I stopped reading now and then babbled for 2 minutes, this would be a half hour. But, you know, half hour, that's the minimum for these episodes. Sometimes we go under. We went under kind of recently, but it fit. It was all right at that time. The next one is water. So let's move into a different mode. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. Is like, let's close on not a, like, trauma, hide, okay, thank you for tuning in, like, no, water, yes, all right, so water, the trigram looks like this. It's more of a palindrome as a trigram, I think even as a hexagram, too. So water, H2O, maybe that's the right, H2, two hydrogens, and O in the middle? Nah, I don't know. Sure. If it helps. That's water. Water, 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 water. Try to remember that. I'm talking to myself. So when you put water on top of water, it looks like this. And it's a figure called water. And it's figure 29. Con. I think we did a can joke when this came up. K apostrophe A-N. The abysmal, or water. Flow like pure water through difficult situations. The image of the hexagram Kaan is that of water. Water falling from the heavens. Water coursing over the earth in storms. Water collecting itself in pure and silent pools. This image is meant to teach us how to conduct ourselves in trying situations. If we flow through them, staying true to what is pure and innocent in ourselves, we escape danger and reach a place of quiet refuge and good fortune beyond. Khan often appears to warn of a troubling time, either drawing near or already at hand, and to counsel you not to fall into longing for an immediate and effortless solution to the trouble. When you become emotionally ambitious, when you cling to comfort and desire to be free of the currents of change in life, you block the creative, with a capital C, from resolving difficulties in your favor. Yeah, if you want an immediate, get me out of here, then, you know, sometimes that's probably the appropriate response, right? And depends on the situation, but, you know, the quick fix, oh, you know, take a pill, you know, I don't know, maybe, I mean, I'm not Tom Cruise over here talking shit about medication, you know what I mean, but, never mind, like, okay, I'll just keep reading. What is necessary now is to accept the situation, to flow with it like water, to remain innocent and pure and sincere, while the higher power works out a solution. It is not that you should not act now. It is that you should not act out of frustration, anxiety, despair, or a desire to escape the situation. Instead, still yourself and look for the lesson hidden inside the difficulty. Correct your attitude until it is open, detached, and unstructured. Abandon your goals and stay on the path, where you proceed step by step, arm in arm with the sage. Those whose hearts and minds are kept pure and innocent relate properly to all events, understand their cosmic meaning, and flow through them with the strength, clarity, and brilliance of pure water. Okay, so the first line, if you rolled a, what is it? If you rolled a six for the first line. So we're reading all six as if we rolled 6, 9, 6, 6, 9, 6. A lot of sixes and nines in this I Ching. First line. If you indulge in a bad habit, no matter how small, eventually you fall into an abysmal pit. Leave behind incorrectness now. What is this, an intervention? Second line. A dangerous abyss is open before you. This is a time for following the sage cautiously and taking small, mindful steps so you don't get a little piece of rose quartz lodged into the bottom of your foot, for example. I got to sweep as soon as I'm done here. I wasn't patient enough to sweep before I started recording. I was like, oh, fuck, all right, get the big pieces out of here and let's hit it. Silly ET. Third line. A step in any direction leads into danger. Now, this is, remember, this is only, so when you roll and you get this figure of water, it's not necessarily always going to be all six of these. These are the six lines when it's, you know, that particular roll. When it's not, then it's not. Right? Makes sense? Okay. A step in any direction, for the third line, leads into danger. Do not act in any way. Disengage and strengthen your inner calm until a way through is clear. Fourth line. This can be good for, like, when you're having a conversation or a debate, let's say, a heated debate with a loved one. Sometimes you're like, oh, I have a good point to make. I have a really compelling way to explain the situation from my perspective. Maybe now's not the moment to try to explain it. You know, maybe just, I'll keep this to myself until later, after the shouting, after the crying, and when everything's cool and there's a conversation happening, you know. You know, I wanted to mention, and then say it. Then the communication is delivered, and it isn't just batted away, you know, from a sense. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Maybe this doesn't apply in your life, but maybe it does. And if it does, it's probably something you already knew. But still, just because something is something we already know doesn't mean it isn't good to hear, be reminded every once in a while, right? Sometimes being quiet is the right thing. A breakthrough comes, fourth line. A breakthrough comes if you look to the sage for guidance. Sincerity in everything. Remember, the sage in this case is intangible, unknowable, formless, communicating with you through the I Ching. So it reminds me of how, like, in ancient Rome, even like what was the earliest, like, you know, well, the thing when you think of Rome generally is like Caesar and stuff. Well, what was that? Well, that was the end of the Republic. Well, what was the Republic? Well, that was this whole thing where they were like, no more fucking kings. It's always a problem when there's kings. Oh, really? Well, how did they arrive at that conclusion? And it's like, oh, the record's a little sketchy when you go that far back, but apparently there were kings and it was fucked. And so they came up with this whole, like, Republic situation, formula, management thing, and they were like, fucking no kings. And then someone came along and was like, yeah, but we're bringing kings back. It might sound familiar for some of you. Anyway, but aside from that, yeah, it seems to me that the whole thing about the I Ching following the sage, it implies to me like a situation where perhaps somebody was like, there's too many false sages, there's too many charlatans, and people are falling for them and being led astray. What is a way that I can teach people to follow their inner sage, to follow the sage that looks over the universe in silence and invisible, and follow good advice for their lives without being led by these charlatans? I have an idea. I Ching. So you know what I'm saying? You see the comparison where the Roman Republic and the I Ching both imply an earlier situation that wasn't ideal? Maybe, I don't know. It's a weird, today's a day for weird metaphors. Flowers blooming and Republican sages. Not Republican, like American Republican, but Republic. You know there's a difference, right? Yeah, I hope so. Anyway, breakthrough comes if you look to the sage for guidance. Sincerity in everything you think and say. Sincerity in everything you think and say and do delivers you from danger. Okay. Fifth line. Ambition leads to misfortune. Again, we're not talking always. We're just talking if you happen to roll or whatever this is for that line, right? A nine? Is it? I'm trying to memorize these. Nope. That'd be a... Yeah, nine, because it's singular. Got it. So it's solid. Fifth line. Ambition leads to misfortune. If you will stop striving, the solution will come in the proper time. You ever had that experience where you're like, oh, what's that word? What's that word? I can't think of that word. And then you finally give up and you're like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to drink a sip of tea and look out the window. That's the word, you know. Like, anyway. Sixth line, if you persist in improper behavior when your heart knows what is correct, you will become hopelessly entangled in troubles. By following the good and remaining patient, you save yourself and return to the light. Third line. thunder and water. It's what we learned today. So, there it is. I hope you enjoyed it. Whew, that was a bit... We got through it okay. Hopefully the next ones will be more...
Oh, that's nice.
Right? So now we've got heaven and thunder and water. I don't know. I guess this is how we're arranging them. Those are the trigrams we've delved into and gone, aha, that's what that is. Now if we can just get the figures themselves to stick with thunder, water, heaven, I think these images help a little, right? I've only made this one so far. Editor Edward has made these images, so I believe in Editor Edward to have made good images for that. Next time, I don't know. You know, things are going to be a little disrupted, because we're not going to bring the clothing with us. We're going to be away for like 2 weeks at one point, starting just before Christmas. So, but we'll go ahead and continue with the plan that when it's Gwydion's turn, regardless of whether it's Gwydion or not, in other words, the hat's going to remain here. Edward's going to be filling in for me. Edward's going to be filling in for Gwydion. It's going to be all Edward all the time. So when that happens, he kind of drifts away from that caricature of the glasses, nerdy, repressed guy, and kind of becomes an amalgamation of all of us. It's just what happens. It's not intentional. But anyway, he's more like Editor Edward when it's just him. So anyway, we'll have him do what Gwydion was gonna do. So when I Ching 5 rolls around, we're gonna take 3 coins and we're gonna do a divination. So that's what happens when it's Gwydion's turn to read I Ching, is we do an I Ching divination. When we come back around to Edward's turn, right, in I Ching part 6, then we'll continue learning the trigrams. And we'll learn the 4th and probably the 5th trigram, because now that we've established our flow, I think it's safe to do like 2 trigrams in 1 episode like we did today. It's not too long, right? I hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to comment below. And, all right. Let's take a moment of silence for my old rose quartz wand.
I will remember
this is rose quartz, by the way.
You. Will you remember me?
Oh, that wasn't exactly silence, but it was memorable. Okay, and special thanks to the Jade Cat. May you always be safe and not be on the edge of a table while I'm wearing wizard sleeves and getting the ring light, which is what happened to the wand. All right. All things pass as the sea, the sun and the moon, and so are the days of our lives, sands of the hourglass, all that shit, Bill and Ted wisdom. All we are is dust in the wind, dude. Until next time.